I got a deep certificate at Kenkachanya, very ignorant person certificate.
VIP.
Deep.
Very VIP.
VIP. Yeah. Very important, not very important, very ignorant person. So I got a certificate from Kusunji. Okay. Anyway, Kusunji, I've sort of got some realization. Because we think that we can do everything with self. We can buy a ticket, we can arrange our trip, we can come here, we can visit the foundation with the expectation that we can get some understanding, yeah? But that is nothing to do with developing satipatthana. We think that we can do everything with self, but that doesn't contribute to the realization of realities. In other words, For the development of satipatthana, it's non-self. It's 100% non-self. It's not like 99% or 99.999%. But if we have even 1% of the notion that satipatthana can be developed with self, yeah, that understanding would hinder the development of satipatthana. And I've learned this after a few decades of listening to Kusuchin. I finally realized that non-self is non-self, nothing else. Is it true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I've got to return this certificate. But I've finally realized that non-self means non-self. We cannot do anything with the development of satipatthana if we have a even slight hint or slight sort of idea of self. Is it true?
Yeah, but how can we understand that it's more understanding? Because this is the word, not self. But is there any way to have more precise, decisive understanding of not self, not just the word? Like seeing now, not self is the word, but the understanding deeper that it's not self, because now it arises and it falls away. And not only word, it's the moment of its arising and falling away.
Okay. Let sati and panya arise by themselves. We cannot force
not them without
arise.
Listening carefully to the teachings, because instead of saying satipatthana, because it sounds like object of attachment to satipatthana. What about understanding, which is opposite of ignorance? In Sefer, VIP, very ignorant. And at the moment of understanding, very understanding person. VUP.
Tadami, I make a suggestion. So can you give me a copy of the Mula Pariyaya Sutta? And I have found that to be one of the best readings that I have ever read, you know, in English, because it explains so many different ways in which there's the perception of self. And you being academic, it might be a nice idea for you to read that first and then mull over it and think about it, because I know that helped me tremendously, that sutta. It's really very, very good. It's by Bhikkhu Bodhi. He explains it, and he has this whole commentary and everything that goes in. He's very, very good. Yeah. So, you know, it might help. But then, of course, as Ajahn says, it's the satipatthana and the conditions for satipatthana to arise that's going to determine how much is understood and what. Just as you had some glimmer of understanding while you were away at, where was it, Kenkrajan or someplace, that will, and that's absolute excellent, you know. So that's the kind of thing that we can, when I say we, but anyway, that there can be hope for conditions so that more of that can occur, you know.
Okay, Kusuchin, just before you said that one shouldn't expect or shouldn't have any attachment when one is developing satipatthana.
Actually, there's no one at all. So there must be the understanding of what is it, like satipatthana, see. If we study Dhamma just one word at a time, mm-hmm. we can get more precise mm-hmm. understanding. For example, what is opposite of ignorance? Mm-hmm. Right understanding. It means that at moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, whatever in there, mm-hmm. there is no understanding of all these realities. Mm-hmm. So we don't aim or think about any word such like satipatthana or anything at all. Mm-hmm. Just whenever there is seeing without understanding, there must be the idea of self, mm. I see. Mm. So it's not just learning by intellectual reading that mm. it's not self. Mm. We remember that word, mm. but there must be the way to understand better and better mm. and have less and less attachment, mm. less ignorance mm. because of the understanding of that mm. as just a reality. Mm. One at a time. Even we don't name or call it satipatthana at all. Otherwise, people just talk about satipatthana. They aim so high to that degree as bodhipakkhiyadhamma. See? But actually, it has to begin right now. As now there is seeing, hearing, no understanding. So no need to talk about satipatthana or bodhipakkhiyadhamma, but know that what is opposite of not understanding? Ignorance. Only way to listen, just one word at a time, like seeing. By having such understanding of it very deeply, firmly enough, then it can condition moment of beginning to understanding directly without using the word satipatthana arises at all.
And I think what you were saying is similar to saying that gusala has to be 100% gusala. It can't be it can't be mostly gusala and a little bit agusala on a moment-to-moment basis. But of course the reality is that there's gusala and agusala arising both. And I think it's the same with development of understanding in satipatthana. Because it's very weak, there'll be a lot of idea of self involved also, apparently involved. But of course, these can be separate moments from the weak understanding. So, I think as Ajahn was saying, we shouldn't be too concerned if it seems to be with an idea of self from time to time, because that's inevitable.
She didn't say that there shouldn't be attachment or expectation or wrong view for development of satipanya. What she said is, what is real now can be known. So if it's attachment now, expectation now, wrong view now, these are also realities, like seeing or visible object, that have to be known when they appear. Otherwise it's like trying not to have attachment and expectation again, instead of just understanding what appears at this moment. And in truth, whether or not there's any interest in developing panya, whether or not one's heard the teachings, there is no self. They are just dhammas.
Like the term dhamma, it seems like that there's no doubt about it. But actually, seeing arises, it sees now. What about the understanding of Dhamma of seeing? See? We can say seeing is Dhamma, but it's only word. But at moment of understanding, seeing which sees, think nothing, no thinking about other things, it is the beginning of becoming closer to understand the seeing itself. And that moment is not self either. So it depends on understanding, which in Pali is panya.
Ajahn, there may not be any understanding of seeing as just seeing or as a dhamma, but does that mean that doubt arises?
It is speculation again about whether there's doubt at that moment or not. They are all gone. So just know that right understanding can understand whatever appears. Only that.
Because you just said that it seems like there's understanding of seeing, but actually there's doubt.
Whatever, yeah. Otherwise we try to find out what's there when there is no understanding. No need to do anything. It's just like reminder that Panya can understand only that which is now appearing. Otherwise it think again and about other things all the time.
That probably means that
it doesn't matter.
Yeah. We have to take in Panya. Panya does its function. So let Panya do its function. Mm-hmm. We need not do anything.
Panya is Panya. Yeah. Ignorance is ignorance.
We need not do anything, but no we that can do anything. Mm-hmm. So it's not a matter of letting we do or not do, because no we in the first.
So what is now appearing? By understanding that moment, there can be the understanding that it's just a conditioned reality.
It's very subtle, isn't it? If we have a notion that let's Panya do its function, it's we again.
Because it's not only Panya which arises by conditions. Mm. It's all dhammas, including matter.
Right now, seeing, rising and falling away. We keep on saying the seeing is dhamma or adhamma. But at the moment of seeing, if there is no understanding of just seeing which sees, there is thinking about other things or about seeing only. So for the words having Dhamma as refuge, or Dhamma is my refuge, Dhamma is my refuge, or is the refuge? Now, or then, or where, or when?
Can you explain what you mean by Dhamma is my refuge?
What is Dhamma?
Dhamma's
at the moment, yeah. At the moment of understanding Dhamma, Dhamma can be refuge. Okay. Understanding.
It was in this morning's topic. And people are saying that, Konsuchi is saying that, when there's awareness, and then we can take that Panya, which accompanies with awareness, can be a refuge. It's not what you
because
said.
I think that we follow the words in Tipitaka, just follow. But if we study just one word at a time, we can understand better. For example, refuge. What is that? Ignorance cannot be refuge at all. So it has to be the right and wise and true words only that can be the refuge, because it can condition understanding.
Ulaparayaya Sutta, so it starts by talking about hardness, patui datu. So usually
the earth
is patui datu. Patui datu, it's the same. Hardness now. So the ignorant worldlings like us, usually the hardness is taken for something, microphone or book. But when there is right understanding, it's just earth, just hardness, just a dhamma, just a reality. And at that moment of understanding, that hardness is a refuge because it's understood correctly.
And it's
but for those with no understanding, just clinging to hardness, taking it for something all the time, thinking it belongs to me, a tanuditti, taking it for a thing.
And is there any understanding of hardness now? See, it has to be now, at moment when it appears. Otherwise, how can understanding understand anything which does not appear? Get closer, closer to the understanding of that which appears only. As much as one can usually say, it's hard, that's all. No understanding of the characteristic which is hard as a reality. Just say, it's hard, see?
It's always something that's hard.
No more understanding, only it's hard.
Also say that when a moment of satipatthana arises, that
instead of saying when a moment of satipatthana arises, at moment of understanding, okay, that which appears is better.
All right, okay. Yeah. A moment. So when a moment of understanding or whatever is appearing at that moment, can we say that it is your it's a refuge or being safe from the idea of the defilements, because they're not arising at the same time.
Or the idea of I.
And the idea of a self is not arising at that moment, and wrong view is not arising at that moment, so that in that sense it's also a refuge.
To have the fully development of understanding the truth of Aden Nibbana.
I really do not understand the meaning of refuge, because when I hear the word, I somehow imagine myself on a small raft there, in a sort of a strong current, you know, standing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, refuge means safety, right?
Yeah, the normal word
in English.
Even if you don't know Dhamma, the normal word in English, refuge is being safe from, is a place of safety, right?
Yeah.
So in this sense, at least the way I understand it, it's at a moment when understanding of a reality happens. No wrong view is arising at that moment, so you're safe from the wrong view. No defilements, hindrances are arising at that particular moment. So there's, I guess, safety from those. There's no wrong view. There's no sense of self arising at that particular moment. So in that sense, it's a refuge.
Okay. Even though it's very, very momentary, it's a refuge. Okay.
Yeah, just that moment.
Whatever happens must happen in one moment.
Yes.
Right.
And the implication also is that no other refuge other than the Dhamma.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have refuge in lots of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, then that would be included in the idea of wrong view, in the sense that that would be included
in the idea of wrong view, because any other refuge would be a wrong view, would it not? Anything else that you think is a refuge might be considered wrong view.
Why do we say it's a refuge? Are we now not in danger?
Yeah, we're in danger.
Yeah, that's why we use the term refuge.
So it is like at the moment of understanding hardness that appears now as just a reality. At that moment, it is a safety. It is like your boat in the ocean, and then whenever there's the taking it for thing or person, when there's atanuditti again, it's like back in danger, lost in the ocean of concepts and views, no understanding. So it is just the, for a moment, safety when there is understanding now of what appears as just Dhamma. And that's just exactly what this sutta and all other suttas are talking about.
The words in other sutta conform. Yeah.
All about just understanding reality now, khanda now, ayatana now, dhatu now, dharma now, as not self, anatta. Paul, how are your considerations from last week about reality?
I am really in the beginning stage. What I've been doing is reading information that I received from my friend, and then I have also been reading other, just so I get an idea, a general idea of. I've been reading general books on. On Buddhism, so that I get some idea of the structure. And I, by getting that idea of the structure, at least that this is my objective, I will understand more rapidly the miscellaneous details that come up in our discussion. So I found that to be useful. I mean, but before I came here, my whole knowledge of Buddhism involved meditation, and this is all totally new to me. So what I've done is, as I mentioned to you, is I'm reading now a couple books that I happen to have on what is Dhamma, so that I understand the structure of it, and hopefully that will enable me to get into the swing here so that I can understand what you're all talking about.
That's basically the first step of learning what they call the pariyatti learning, meaning you're learning what's in the book and understanding it at that level. But when we talk about satipatthana in here and understanding a reality arising at a particular moment, this is an even deeper level of understanding. But the pariyatti level, what you're doing right now, is the basis. It helps create the conditions for which at some point when the conditions are right, the satipatthana, the understanding of a particular reality, whatever arising at a particular moment, will happen. At some point it will happen. It may not happen very soon. It may happen very, who knows? Everybody's different. But that's the second level of understanding, that when there's the understanding of a particular reality. So when the pariyatti learning, the understanding at the pariyatti level is deeper, or I don't want to say deeper, but when it's more extensive, then there's contemplation, thinking, deeply thinking about it, that's helping to create conditions for a moment of understanding of a particular reality to arise. So, you know, and a lot of it depends on patience. It takes many lifetimes. Some people, there are examples of people who can read the suttas, memorize everything. They memorize it. They got it all down. But they've never gotten to step two.
Is that
pariyatti? It's not exactly pariyatti. What they're doing is memorizing, because
not
they're not
pariyatti at all.
Yes, it's not pariyatti. Yeah, that's correct. It's not pariyatti. Okay, Sarah, you want to explain to him what you mean by pariyatti? Because it's more than a little bit more than what I was just saying.
So we may study books or may memorize, but if there's no understanding of Dhamma now, at this moment, it's not even the intellectual study or the understanding that Ajahn has been talking about. So it has to begin with understanding of Dharma now. So you mentioned that you were reading about Dharma. So what is Dharma now? We discussed quite a bit about it last week. What is Dharma? What is real now?
That's difficult for me to answer. I haven't really reached that level yet, to be honest with you.
Never mind about what you've read or studied, but what about, because we discussed quite a lot last week, what is real at this moment?
What I can see.
What is seen, and who sees?
Well, that's what I don't know. I'm learning that.
Right. So we discussed last time that we think it's I who sees, but actually it's just seeing which sees, seeing consciousness which sees,
yes,
because actually there is no I. So it's just seeing consciousness which sees, and what is seen is just that which is seen.
Yes.
So this is pariyatti. This is the beginning of right intellectual study of Dharma.
Yes.
So seeing is Dharma, and what is seen is Dharma.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And after seeing that which is seen, what happens?
I don't know.
Is there thinking about what is seen?
Yes.
Thinking about what is seen. If there was no thinking about what was seen, there would be no idea that this is Sarah, Paul. So there's a moment of seeing of that which is seen, and then thinking about shapes and colors and forms, and then thinking about table and people and places.
Yes.
One, so this is, it has to, the study has to come back to this moment, otherwise it's not right study. It's just memorizing and studying a subject,
I
like you mentioned about studying mathematics.
I don't want to ever just memorize.
I
want to understand. But in order to do that, I've discovered, you know, when you're just learning, the words that you're all using are all, I have to check each one in the dictionary.
Yes.
Otherwise, I don't understand. So there's a lot of initial learning that has to go on, and that a lot of it is included in this dictionary right here.
Paul, I appreciate what you're saying, and I think also I appreciate your approach, which is what I would call a loyally approach to the subject. That is
either good or bad.
Without disparaging, because we are in the same boat there. But Sarah's point is that there's limited value in trying to accumulate knowledge of what the Dhamma is all about in the broad sense, because one is not paying attention to the real gist of the teaching, which is what is real at the present moment. So
is that the guts of the, is that the object that you're looking for, is what is realistic at the, what is real at the present moment?
Absolutely.
What is real at the present moment.
Yes.
That's the heartland of the...
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
And so Sarah was explaining in ordinary language about seeing an invisible object.
Yes.
There's no need to know any term, Pali terms, in order to appreciate what's being spoken about there.
Yeah.
And last week, Betty took you patiently through what happens when your hand is on the table, and explain that what is being experienced there through the body sense is hardness and not the object of table. So we don't need a lot of background to appreciate what the message here. So I would just urge you, I'll pass the microphone back to the next person, but to not be too concerned about trying to understand too much about all the Pali terms and the teaching as a whole and so forth. But that is the heart, what we call the heartland.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I would like to get a pickup, an answer to, is I understand the beginning of the hardness learning, touching the table. Now, what is that supposed to enable one to do in the future?
I totally sympathize with Paul, and I totally agree with his approach, because for him, or for Paul,
is still at the level of finding sort of a general consent. And probably for Paul, what we are discussing right now appears as a sort of finding a needle in a haystack approach. He's trying to get the view of forest. So we cannot force Paul to somehow see our approach, and cannot sort of force him to see that this is the gist of Buddhism. We cannot force him. Okay, let him see the view of forest, and this is very scientific approach which he has done for decades. Okay, and eventually, depending on his accumulation, he will soon see. He will see that. Okay, I got you. What you are talking about? It's this moment.
Oh, so, thank you very much.
That's what we mean when we say when the conditions are right.
When I use the term when the conditions are right, that's what that means. The understanding will arise, and he will understand that idea.
I think we read different amounts of detail. Some people like to read a lot, some read a little, some like to listen a lot, some like to listen a little, but it's very helpful to remember whatever we're reading, whatever we're listening to, it has to relate back to this moment, because when we're talking about what the Buddha taught, it's all about understanding Dharma now. And if it's not about understanding Dharma now, it's not of relevance or not of any value.
That my point was not to discourage you from general reading, but not to have the notion that I can't really understand anything until I've done all that reading, which is the message I was kind of getting from you before. So forget about thinking you have to have all that background knowledge, even though, of course, if you're interested, by all means read. But don't forget that whatever you're reading about relates to the present moment, what is real at the present moment.
Paul is an intelligent person. He already got our message that how important it is to see this moment. It's already in his brain, okay? Somewhere in his sort of knowledge, okay, understanding. So it's dependent on him how much sort of general knowledge he would get. Eventually he will see the view and he will come back to this moment, the realization of how important this is, okay? So it's up to him and it's up to his accumulation. This is, why do I say so? It's a scientific approach and he has done this for a long time, yeah? So I totally sympathize with him. I do not force him to see this point.
So what is heard now, Paul? What is heard now?
The thing that I'm just writing down and with a big star by it is the so-called basic key object of all of our discussion, which is what is real in the present moment. Now that just came to my attention for the first time, which shows you where I'm beginning, you see.
But before there's thinking about those terms that you've written down, what is actually heard at this moment?
In our group discussion, you mean?
Any time, but like right now, what is heard before there is thinking about the terms and the details?
We are... Rupa, or whatever you call it, we're just listening to.
Can we say it's just the sound that is heard?
The sound, yes.
Just sound.
Yes,
so
right,
it's a rupa, yes.
Yes,
just
right.
Sound that is heard, that's
yes,
all.
Yes.
So at that moment, it's just the world of sound that appears.
Yes.
That's
yes,
all.
Yes.
And what hears the sound?
Ears.
Hearing.
Yes.
So there's just hearing of sound, no I who does anything.
Yes.
And the purpose of understanding more about these dharmas at this moment, such as seeing and visible object, hearing and sound, is just for the purpose of understanding that there are just these realities that experience objects and those realities that don't experience anything, no self involved at all. So the reason that we study at all and the reason we learn more about this moment is to appreciate there is no self, there is no one, there is no thing, there is no book, there is no table. There are just different dharmas, different realities, experiencing and being experienced.
Okay, thank you.
Can I say that doesn't matter how eloquently you express the Dharma, the existence of Buddhism, if listener is not up to that level of understanding, we cannot expect that person understand what you're saying. The most important thing, when I teach, most important thing is define the audience. Know the audience first, then explain. We cannot just force our understanding to our students or audience to understand. It's not a good approach. It's what I'm trying to say. Can you see my point?
Yes.
And what we're trying to say is that if there's not more understanding of reality now at this moment, then all our study of Buddhism is totally useless and it's not intellectual right understanding or pariyatti. So everyone comes with a lot of ignorance and misunderstanding. For anyone, it's very, very difficult to hear that it is seeing which sees its visible object which is seen, and this is why it needs to be heard many, many times, and there needs to be the questioning of someone's understanding over and over again, because it doesn't matter how smart someone might be in the conventional world, when it comes to understanding realities now as anatta, it's not easy at all.
My point is that if we really sympathize with Paul, yeah, and Paul would like to help Paul see the Dhamma, yeah, go step by step slowly, okay? That's my point.
What is step one? If it's not seeing invisible object and now, hearing and sound,
Paul,
what is step one?
Need not only that approach. Paul also need his own approach of seeing the forest, okay? It's what I'm saying. So he...
how long do we wait for Paul to...
No,
we're just... I think we're at step one. There's no need to wait until someone has done a lot more reading before we talk about seeing an invisible object. It's true that he may struggle to get what is being said, but he'll think about it afterwards.
Yeah.
You were saying...
Everybody learns at their own pace, their own level. Everybody has different, you know, accumulations and so forth. So don't worry about Paul.
Yeah.
It's fine. All of us have this hurdle of the Pali terms and stuff like that. When I first heard them, I said, oh my gosh, I don't want to bother with a foreign language again. But after a while, it becomes part of your own vocabulary, so to speak. So it's a matter of whether the conditions, when they're right for you, the understanding will arise of a particular reality arising at a particular moment. So don't worry about which way he does it. But right now he has this feeling he wants to know what all the dhammas are, okay? And so I'm willing to meet with him and go over that with him. But that's basically what he wants to have. He wants to have an overall view right now, which is fine. That's all right. As long as he understands, that's just a mere, it's not even a step, well, it is a step to understanding what is arising. What are the realities that arise at different moments? Okay, so that's okay. Don't worry about it.
And I think that life is short. Death can come at any time. So what is most precious to hear and consider now.
I'd like to ask Khun Nopadon, who's been listening for many carefully and considering, what he thinks is the most valuable thing to hear and discuss.
I'm just hearing and understanding. I listen all of you discussing. I heard the John saying, I understand. But if I want to ask the question, I ask myself first. If I don't know the word, I don't know. Just don't know the word. Because I used to ask before, when someone answer, I don't understand. Because I think to myself, maybe it's low part. Or I need to know the word, but not understand the reality.
So what is the reality now? What is real now?
I can say it's follow the hardness, seeing, hearing, touching, all the things. But when I'm understanding, understand that what you are talking about, I follow all of you to talking about.
Just one thing that is real at the present moment.
Real is hardness.
Hardness.
Because it sits on
right.
The hardness.
Yeah.
And I hear it. Hearing, turn it hard.
Through which doorway does hardness appear?
You talk about doorway.
Mm.
Should I say it's like a hardness by Gaya Vinyan or body sense? Just the word. But I understand what you're talking. But I appreciate that for listening and hearing for myself the sound, and I understand it.
What do you mean, hearing for myself the sound and I understand it?
Hearing, because hearing is hearing. Hearing on my on what you call mind or jitjasik or kanta is mind. I don't know how to use the word I, but it's no self, but the hearing is hearing. Hearing myself is hearing by what? By sota vinyana or something like that.
I think you're trying to put Pali terms to everything, but we don't need to do that. We're just talking about what is real at the present moment.
When you say, I understand it and I follow you, who is understanding and following it?
In Bali, word is panya.
Just understand.
Yes, just
if there's understanding, it arises. No I who can follow or understand anything at all. So, Paul, what do you think is the benefit of understanding more about reality now? What is the purpose?
I think it's the purpose, it's the basis for anything that we talk about here, or any objective that any conversation is directed towards, is, as I understand it.
Because we can study any other subject to develop beautiful conceptual frameworks,
yes.
But the Buddha's teachings are different because it's not like studying science or mathematics,
yes.
Or law.
Yes.
It's just about studying and understanding reality that can be directly known when there has been the very,
yes.
Careful considering and right intellectual study about reality now. So it's the purpose is to get closer and closer to the truth of life, what life is at this moment. And we learn that at this moment there is just the experience of one world at a time. So the world is seeing, or the world is hearing, or the world is tasting or touching or thinking, just one world at a time. And all the other worlds we imagine of people and things and places are just figments of the imagination. So it's the understanding just gets closer and closer to what the truth is of world at this moment, and what it means to live alone with one world, mm-hmm. at a time. So no matter with people in a crowded place or in the quiet forest, actually there is living alone. We learn to live alone with one reality at a time.
Is reality hearing your voice?
So only sound is heard, that's it. Just sound is heard.
That's reality.
By hearing. That's reality.
Then when you
there's the hearing of the sound, and then there's the thinking about that sound, those sounds, and the thinking creates a story. It thinks about all sorts of ideas about that sound, but actually only sound is heard.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
That's the world of smoke. Okay.
My suggestion is, when we understand anything, we use both top-down and bottom-up approach. We cannot just have a bottom-up approach. We need a top-down approach too. Paul, he's a very intelligent person. He's getting this very rare opportunity. Okay? Yeah, he's getting this opportunity. Eventually, he will see the essence of what we're discussing, but we cannot force him. For him, due to his academic background or professional background, he needs this top-down approach too. Yeah?
Nobody's arguing against that.
Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Nobody's arguing against that.
Kun Sukin, please.
No, but is there any more direct approach than reminding about what's now?
Approach, I'm saying, I'm not denying it. I'm not denying it. But for some person, because we've all done this, because we just do not read, we've read all these texts, we've read various books, and then eventually come to a conclusion that, okay, this is the essence. So, Paul has to go through the same process, is what I'm saying. We cannot force other people, just, this is essence, this is essence. It's not how you explain Buddhism to other people. It's not.
Well, do you feel like you're being forced?
Well, to a certain extent, but it's a good being forced, because I realize that if I don't put the heat on here, there's no reason to come to these meetings. I have to start picking up the basic understanding of what direction people are going when they discuss various things. So, but that's probably not. I'm not being pushed. I mean, it's something I would like to do. That's all.
But now you were comparing Paul's approach to studying the forest, right? As though that was a useful thing to do on its own. I mean, and compared to this, right? So do you think that's useful?
I'm saying when we learn something, we use both two and these different approaches. I don't know how much previous accumulation you have for you, just listening to this type of bottom-up approach. Just see the essence as essence is good enough. For other people, it may not, is what I'm saying.
Well, for me, I realized that, I mean, before I came here, I've read Dhamma books. I've read other Dhamma books and the teachings of other teachers. But I came to a conclusion once I had a glimpse of understanding what Achan was trying to convey, that only then did I really start to understand the Dhamma. Before that, I didn't.
From the very beginning, there has to be the understanding of Dhammas as not self. And the only way that Dhammas can be understood as not self is to begin to understand what reality is now, that there is only seeing, and it sees only visible object. Otherwise, one can read all the rest of the forest and all the details, but all with the idea of self. I am understanding this, and I am following this, and this is what I need to do for my practice. So that's why, right from the very beginning, it has to start with the discussion and consideration of what reality is at this moment. Otherwise, it will just be the following of the wrong path all the way.
Sarah, our lives are full of trials and errors. Through going through all these trials and errors, we will see our truth. Okay? You are lucky. You can just see the truth as truth. But for many people, that may not be a path. They have to go through trials and errors. Paul may spend extra hour time, but he may eventually see. We do not know, is what I'm saying. Okay?
So it's not a matter of forcing anyone, it's impossible, but giving anyone the opportunity to consider for themselves what is truth now, what is real now, how there is no self now, because there is just hardness experienced by body consciousness. There is just thinking about table and so on. So there are many places, many books one can read about all sorts of theoretical constructs, but the purpose of coming here to discuss is just to learn a little more about Dharma now as anatta.
Exactly. Conditions. Conditions. We cannot force other people on this. Conditions.
Even the Buddha couldn't.
Yeah.
Even the Buddha couldn't force anyone to understand. Yeah. But, like in the sutta Betty mentioned, in every other sutta, he's talking about hardness. He's talking about visible object. He's talking about seeing over and over for 45 years in different ways, just talking about present realities, so that those that have accumulations to understand have the opportunity to hear about reality. That's all.
Yeah. Dhamma is ehipasiko. It's also anupubikata.
Yes.
Yeah, so go step by step. Okay, yes. We cannot jump.
This is the very first step, beginning to hear and consider about reality as anatta.
Yeah.
Without this, no other first step.
Yeah. And also, out of my as an instructor, yeah, I always treat myself not as a teacher but facilitator. Okay, I have no intention of teaching something to my students. I'm only providing something so that my audience or student will learn or realize themselves. That's my approach. And Buddhism is very much like this, okay?
So all we're doing is sharing what the Buddha taught.
Yeah.
So when we ask someone what is real now, yeah, it's just so that they can consider for themselves what is the reality now.
Regardless of the background.
Jan, would you like to say any more?
Yes. I think that we all come here just to share the understanding. We don't mind the background at all, how many books one has read before, but just one word, we can have different understanding and different levels of understanding too. For example, if we don't use any Pali term at all, is it possible? Right? No need to use Pali term. What is real, even now, just to think about it? We can think about what is real, and we can use many, many words, but what about a reality, like seeing? For example, it might seem a very silly question, what is real? It seems like no one knows at all what is real, but actually we just want to find out how much understanding of that person. For example, what is real? See, Kun Paul? We can share. Anyone can say what is real.
Yes, I understand, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, Kun Sarah, what is real?
Hardness.
Kun
Visible object.
Yes.
Alberto, what is real?
I gather that this has to do with the six doors.
We didn't have to say anything about that at all. Just
seeing,
one word at
hearing,
a time.
The touching.
A question to you was just, a question she asked you is just, what is real now?
what is real now is what I'm, what you just said, your voice, just your voice.
Sound,
that's right. Yes.
And before you said we learn to... about understanding what is real now, but what is real can only be now, and so what is real is now, or whatever arises now, it's real, and if it's not now, it's not real.
So what is real?
What arises?
What is real?
Reality is real.
What reality? In order to really see that there is the understanding of even simple question like what is real. Kunsara said
visible object.
And you, what is real?
In English.
Too many things, but now there must be a reality, not two or not three at all. Only one reality is real now. Life of Kunsara, visible object is real. See? When
it's not like it's what Sarah just said, right? It's the reality.
When Achan asks what is real, and it's not like you say what Sarah just said. What she's trying to ask is, what is the reality now that's being experienced?
Listening to her voice, sound.
Sound.
Mm-hmm. If
but
one,
also the scene, I guess that's real, right?
Yeah. It means that one begins to understand what is real, one at a time. If we talk about many, many things, not at a time at all.
Because even when we say listening to her voice, that is more than just sound, because it's just sound that's heard, and then there's thinking about listening to her voice, or this is the voice of Sarah. So actually what is heard is just sound, that is the reality, and then thinking about this person's voice or that person's voice. So just sound.
Reality.
Thinking is real, but this voice is the voice of Sarah, or this voice is the voice of Alberto. That's just an idea.
So we all agree. So we all agree that sound is real, right? At what moment? When is it real? Only when it appears, not when it falls away or when it hasn't risen yet. So what is real change again, not like a moment ago, different one. This is the understanding of whatever appears is real. Otherwise it's only the idea, everything which arises is real, something like that, but that is not this moment what is real. So Kun Alberto, what is real?
One reality at a time.
Pardon?
One reality at a time. Just one reality at
yes,
a time.
Yes, but many, many, one reality at a time. See? So what is real?
What is real?
Just
no,
one.
No, just one.
The microphone is hardness.
Hmm?
Hardness.
Okay. At now or when it's real?
Still hardness. Yeah, hardness again.
It's real. When? When is it real?
When it arises, yes.
When it appears. At moment of hearing, is hardness real?
No, it's.
What is real?
Sound.
Mm-hmm. And.
Hearing.
Hearing. See. To see that life exists only in a moment. If there is no seeing, no hearing, no thinking, there's the idea of I or thing at all. Because the absolute reality is that which is really absolute truth. Like hardness, no matter when there is the touching of table or chair or anything, what appears, the absolute truth is hardness. It's real. So we agree now what is real, because it is conditioned, so it arises and falls away. Just to understand reality, that it is no one and it does not belong to anyone at all. It's like space. Khanda means appear just in a very, very short time and then never come back no more. What is there in the space? Yes, please.
Okay, I understand the sound that it comes at the present time. And my question is, what about the information that she told me in my present knowledge that in 1 hour from now I will go out and get my driver and drive back to town? Is that real?
What is happening? We were just talking about what is real. Achan, the whole idea of the exercise is to for us to understand better by the term what is real, by the suggestion what is real and what being real is.
Okay, I mean, it's easy to understand, at least for me, without any, that what I hear right now is real. The sound is real. But what I'd like to know for future knowledge is what is real when you start creating a advice, or when you know that you have to do something. What is that, real or not real?
When you speak to your driver, what is heard?
Is real.
What is heard when you speak to your driver?
Oh. Nothing.
Sound. When the driver speaks to you, what is heard is
sound.
Just like now.
Yes.
And like now, there's hearing of sound and thinking about people. And when talking to your driver, hearing of sound, and thinking about instructions and getting in the car and going to Bangkok. So just like now, it's just hearing sound and then thinking about all sorts of concepts, and on account of that thinking, taking action. But actually, just like now, in fact, there are just those realities which experience an object and those realities which don't experience any object. And we talked about last week how at each moment there is one moment of consciousness. Seeing is a moment of consciousness, hearing is a moment of consciousness, thinking is a moment of consciousness. And it's like this all through life. We call these citta, and we said there's one citta at a time. So no matter what the circumstances, no matter whether you're talking to your driver and getting in the car or sitting in the discussion, in fact, it's just citta experiencing an object, one citta at a time, no self doing anything at all. So understanding more about reality now is the way to appreciate it's just the same later, yesterday, tomorrow, last life, next life, just moments of experiencing one after the other, those realities which experience and those realities which don't experience anything.
And thinking is a reality, which is when you're thinking right now about what to do next.
All right,
is
that's
thinking.
That was my question.
Yeah.
So what you told me, there are two realities. That there's the sound of your voice, and then there's the thinking about what you said. Is that a reality?
Hearing was a reality.
Okay. So
sound was a reality.
Yeah.
Thinking is a reality. So many, many different realities.
Right. So that's a key reality, is the thinking.
Thinking. So thinking is a reality. But the ideas that are thought about are not realities. They are concepts. Like, I must go and get my keys and put them in the car. That's an idea. Or Alberto is sitting near me. That's an idea. Okay. So thinking is real, but the concept is not real.
If there's no thinking, can there be a driver?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last word. If there's no thinking, can there
be a driver?
A driver.
Yes. Yes. He's waiting out there, yes.
Well, this is the point. Okay, eventually you will get it.
And what is a driver? You said that there is a driver.
The driver is not real, not real.
But something makes up the driver.
Yeah, well, when I go out and look at him, he becomes real.
What is real at moment of looking or seeing?
Touching, at the exact moment.
A moment of looking.
Oh, the moment of looking, yes.
What is real?
What you see.
Driver?
Pardon me?
You see driver?
Well, no, it's what, if I'm out looking at him, then it's real. But talking about him is not real.
So what else is real at moment of looking at him? What else is real? Seeing is real.
Seeing is real.
And that which is seen is real.
And when he says something, hearing is real.
Or what else?
Suppose you go like this to him.
Pardon me?
You go like this, tap his shoulder.
Just at the moment of looking, and understanding or have the idea that that's my driver, what else is real? At that very moment, that you know him as the driver, what else is real?
It's what taught me earlier that he was the driver. That was real. I guess is. I'm sorry. I don't pick up what you're asking me.
Okay, what's this?
That's. Whatever I'm looking at, I know what it is, but it's something that I'm looking at. Right.
What else is real?
That's it. I know that it's a cup, but I'm not touching it. Yeah. I'm just looking at
it. But what arises with seeing? Because anything which is conditioned must have many conditions. Otherwise it can arise. For example, seeing cannot arise without the mental factors which arise with it, right? So
yes.
At the moment of seeing, what else is real?
I'm sorry.
At moment of knowing that it's a driver.
Yes.
There is memory.
But is that something that can be real?
Is memory real?
Yeah, that's what I'm not... You're answering is I didn't know that.
Okay, so you talked about how there's one cheetah at each moment,
okay.
Such as seeing or hearing.
Yes.
And accompanying that cheetah
is
that
a knowledge.
Are many different mental factors.
Yes, okay.
So John is just mentioning one, which is memory.
Yes.
So at each moment of cheetah.
Is that real?
It's real.
Yeah. Okay.
Is memory real?
All right.
Is memory real?
I don't know, but based on what you're saying,
that
it would be real.
Is there memory? Is there memory?
When I look at the man, I know from previous memory that he's my driver. So at previous moment, and which is gone, I learned that he was the driver, and I'm now using memory too.
Could you recognize Gunsara's voice?
Yes.
Is it you or that reality? Which recognize?
Probably me.
No, we talk about whatever is real.
Okay. It's a reality. I'm hearing her voice.
Yes.
But the fact that it's Sarah's voice is something that requires, in addition to that,
memory.
Okay, all right.
You,
I see, yes, mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's yes.
Okay. So that we can understand what is real is real. It's a reality. It does not belong to anyone at all. It's conditioned, otherwise it cannot arise at all. So whatever is real in one's life, like memory, feeling, thinking, or anything at all, must be realities, different realities.
Okay.
No one, no self in there at all.
And I gather that they're either good realities or bad realities.
Mm-hmm. Like, what is good? Reality. Anger. Is it good?
No.
No. Is it real?
No. It's...
Yes, it's real. So we don't mind at all what is called a reality or absolute reality or sati or panya. Whatever is real, it's real.
It just is not necessarily good real. It's
or
bad real. It's real.
Everything which is real is real.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Is anger you?
Is anger would be real, yes.
Just a reality.
It's a memory.
It arises by conditions.
Yes. Okay.
Is attachment real?
It's brought about by conditions, I guess.
Whatever is real is real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Is thinking real?
Yes.
Is smelling real?
Yes.
See, whatever is real is real.
Yes.
And we don't know the true nature of all these realities, so we take each one for something, like I hear, I like, I dislike, and so forth. But actually, if those realities do not arise, no one to take it for, I or me at all. Like if there's no seeing, there is no idea I see. At moment of hearing, when there is no understanding that hearing is conditioned by many, many conditions, and it arises just to hear. After it hears, it goes away, falls away instantly. So it's not I who hear at all. Everything is different realities.
And I gather to find the good realities as opposed to the bad realities, what is the object there?
What is good and what is bad?
How can you tell? I mean, let's look at the. I'm asking stupid questions because I don't know enough information. But my question is, I understand that what you say, what I hear is real, looking at you is real.
What about not anyone or anything? Just the absolute reality. For example, hearing is not seeing. Hearing is real. It hears.
Yes.
So we don't talk about his or hers at all. Just
okay.
Reality.
Yes. All right.
And this is the meaning of Dhamma in Pali language. Whatever is real. So Buddha realized the true natures of all realities. If there are no realities to be realized, he couldn't have any understanding about anything.
Yes.
So at this moment of seeing, who knows that it is conditioned? It arises and falls away. It does not belong to anyone.
Yes.
So by understanding this, this will condition the understanding of no self, even at moment of seeing or hearing. Or thinking, no self at all.
Yes.
Only different conditioned realities. Yeah.
Okay.
And when you ask what is good and what is bad, so for example, at a moment of friendliness, for example, or kindness to other people around, is it good or is it bad when there's friendliness or kindness?
Well, being a kind, it should be good. It should be real, rather.
Right, so it's a reality.
Yes.
Friendliness with the other's welfare at heart. So
yes,
that's good
correct.
Reality.
Right.
And at a moment of stinginess or selfishness, when one's just thinking of one's own welfare, it's another reality that is a bad reality.
Okay.
So it's the development of understanding can begin to know what are good realities and what are bad realities. And these are different from moments of seeing and moments of hearing, mm-hmm. which are not good or bad. They're just results.
I see.
I think there are two key concepts which is missing from Paul's understanding. One concept is that when we talk about the realities, yeah? Reality is sort of a reality which can be directly experienced either one of the or through one of the six doorways. But for instance, kya or ka cannot be directly experienced.
Car
cannot be directly experienced. We can think of a car. Thinking is directly experienced, but car cannot be experienced directly in any direct manner. So we say that car is not a real. But for instance, hardness or touching are realities which can be directly experienced. In that sense, we say that car is just concept, and the sort of realities are dhammas which can be directly experienced. Another thing which there are many people who do not agree, but when we say about the reality, we are talking about the phenomena of very short moment. And I myself would say that it occurs only in 10 milliseconds, not more than 20 or 30 milliseconds. Okay, so we are talking about very short period, phenomenon of very short period. Yeah? And that's sort of a key element which may help you to understand what you're talking about.
It's my first thought is, of course it's a reality, but I'm sure it's not a reality. Using this analysis, I don't... That just the concept, human being, is not reality.
Otherwise, there would be always the idea of self.
Okay, yes. Getting back to your question about the car. For the 1 second that you look at it, is it a car?
How do you know 1 second?
Well, that's a good question.
Shorter than that, much shorter.
Yeah, one fraction of a milligram or something. So it becomes a car through some analysis of lots and lots of...
What conditioned the idea of car?
What someone told me. Knowledge.
Not necessary. If that person changed a word from car, it can be anything. Any word, but that characteristic which appears is only that. No change. For example, in your thought, it's a car, but in Thai language, I don't use that word. Uh-huh. But reality is there.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And even a dog learns how to step away from a car.
Yes.
So, without using...
The label. So I think that we understand now, we would like to understand what is real and what is not real. And whether it's real, like this or that, is it something permanent or just a moment of arising and falling away? See, because seeing is not hearing, but that moment, their right understanding is not keen enough to experience directly the arising and falling away of seeing and moments before hearing arises at all. That's why we learn about the truth of reality, that the way we think without studying the teachings is not correct, not right at all, because we do not have such parami or virtuous enough to know or understand whatever appears now as it is. That's why we learn to understand from one word to another word, like reality. We do not talk about that which is not real. But now there is seeing. There is seeing. Right?
Yes.
It's real. So we study whether seeing is I or it's just a reality. No one can control. No one cannot make it up at all. It's conditioned. Without its proper conditions, it cannot arise. So in a day, there are many realities by conditions that we learn to understand better and deeper, so it will eliminate the idea of self from what we take for something. Is this self?
Before you asked the question, I was asking myself that question. I'm looking at it.
At what?
I'm looking at that object.
No.
At the cup.
No.
Well.
See, we take what appears as a cup.
Yes.
At moment of seeing, but actually, without thinking, it's not a cup.
No, it's a. I'm looking at whatever.
So
it is.
We are talking about just reality in a moment, just yeah. In a moment, to really understand what is meant by reality.
Yeah. That's for the reality. So what about the cup?
Well, for example, when you say I am looking at the cup, would you agree that this idea of I am looking at the cup, is based on the experience of seeing by seeing of something? Means there's seeing of something, and then there is the idea that it is I who's seeing.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
there is seeing.
If you're saying from what little I know here, that based on what is real is something that you can see, but what the thing is not something as real, because it's something you don't. If I'd never seen the cup before, I wouldn't know what it is. It's just an object that I'm looking at. Isn't that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is that you have the sense of you looking at something. I'm looking at something.
Well, what is the point that you're making?
We've been talking, mentioning many times that there is no I.
Well,
no,
that's
self,
true,
right?
Right.
But you do have a sense of that you are looking at a cup or whatever.
Yes.
But that is, isn't that based on the experience of seeing? Means there is seeing, and then there is the idea of
yes,
I who
yeah,
sees.
First is the seeing, right.
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 So you recognize that
yes, yes.
This I comes, follows the moment of seeing.
Yes, that's
right.
Right. That's correct. Right.
And same with the cup, that which is seen.
Yes.
Right. First there's seeing, and
yes.
Then there's thinking about
okay.
The cup.
Yes. All right.
Right.
Yes.
So, and then we earlier we talked about thinking as a reality.
Yes.
Thinking is
yes.
Also a reality.
Yes.
You may appreciate then that there is seeing and there's the thinking, whether of I who sees or the cup. There's thinking about
yeah.
The cup.
Yeah.
So these are different realities.
Yes.
There's seeing, there's thinking.
Okay, I see. And then there comes the point where some of them are good, some of them are bad. No? Like love and hate, for example.
I think we're jumping ahead of the present moment there, aren't
okay.
We?
Yeah.
We're talking about seeing invisible object.
Yes.
Are they good or bad?
or neutral, just don't know. If based on, it's neutral, I guess, is what you say at the present time. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just seeing an object right now.
Well, it's, as Sukhin just said, it's not quite seeing an object. It's seeing what is visible.
All right, I'm seeing what's visible, right.
Right. And the idea of objects is
something that comes later.
Is thinking about the visual field.
Yes.
And the, what is seen.
Though what Jonathan said could be understood everybody, but except Paul. And for Paul, it's very difficult to understand. Because for Paul, thinking means thinking something. When we say, see this sort of room, we do not think that we are thinking about these cups.
Okay?
We do not think so.
But you cannot really understand Kun Paul's thoughts at all. Mm. It's only your imagination.
No, it's how we operate, how we are sort of trained since we are small. It's not
what is operating now.
No. The point is that the term thinking has very different meaning in outside the world, outside this group.
To me, citta is thinking of each word that you said. Without citta, there's no such words at all.
Take a sort of survey and ask people outside who do not know anything about Dhamma. When you something see and recognize this is cup, are you thinking that this is a cup or not? Probably they do not understand our questions. The term thinking has very different meaning.
They understand, but they cannot answer the truth of reality because they haven't heard about this before. That's why we come to understand the word that we use to really understand it.
I think outside here, there's confusion between thoughts and thinking. When they say thoughts, they mean the same thing as thinking. But
you do not like what I sort of say. But if I brought in some scientific knowledge, there are two types of memory. One is called implicit memory, the other one is explicit memory. When we recognize something, it involves implicit memory. So it's automatic recognition.
The fact is that we're trying to share and help Paul understand things that he doesn't understand yet. So, of course, we are using words in a different way than they might be used conventionally. But he probably appreciates that, even though he doesn't, may not fully follow it the first time it's heard.
Cognition. It's just cognition.
Yeah.
But at least today we know what is real and what is not real. Yes. And the reality, like seeing, cannot be changed at all. When we talk about seeing, we don't talk about anyone at all. We just talk about that which sees. Yeah. So we can know that it arises, it sees, and it falls away. So where am I if we think that I see?
It appears that not only we learn about what is real and what is not real, but we also learn, and yet to learn, a lot about what real means, what reality is. We don't even understand what real is.
Right. That's why even one word, it takes time to really understand the nature of it. Absolutely.
Like the word experience, Tadal. So you mentioned that realities are what can be directly experienced. Are concepts experienced? Tadao, are concepts experienced?
It can be experienced.
Yeah, so realities and concepts are experienced. So the distinction between realities and concepts is not what can be experienced or what cannot be experienced, mm-hmm. but concepts can only be thought about, but they're still the object of citta, they're still experienced by those cittas.
And whatever is real has its own characteristic. So, yeah.
It can be understood by
when there is more understanding of realities, life carries on just as before. You go out, you get in your car, you drive away. Life carries on just the same. But there's a beginning of more understanding of what is real as opposed to what is imaginary. That's all.
Any doubt about what is real and what is not real? It's clear.
It's never clear.
Because you see that when it's clear comprehension, it must be at that very moment when that reality appears. Otherwise, there's thinking about it all the time. So we can understand the difference between the intellectual understanding and the direct understanding. Even so, at moment of being, just beginning to understand a reality, for example, hardness. At moment when hardness appear, how much understanding is there? Not at all. See? But it begins little by little. When there is the firm foundation of understanding about hardness as no one, nothing, just a reality. So at this moment of touching, it does mean that what we have learnt can be conditioned for understanding directly the characteristic of it as a reality. But it's there to be object of studying. And this is pariyatti. It does mean the number of or name of reality like citta, cetasikas, how many of them. But even at moment of it's appearing when there is touching, heart disappear, right? It's just the difference between moment without direct understanding there and just hearing about hardness and it's not self, it's conditioned. But at moment of touching, it's time to develop understanding. And this is from hearing until it is satyayana, so very firm understanding, which can condition a little understanding of this as oh, no word, but the characteristic of heart disappear. No cup at all, only hardness. No hand, no table, only hardness begin to appear as a reality. And this is conditioned by the intellectual understanding. So without the intellectual understanding, if you ask anyone, what is this? They will say cup or many words about it. But even they say a reality, it depends on each individual's understanding, how much there is the understanding of that characteristic. That's why Panya develops and develops until there is no doubt about that reality which appears. Until Sotapanna or Sotamakati, that which the moment of experiencing Nibbana can eradicate doubt about whatever appears. And Panya does not doubt. At moment when there is no understanding and doubt, it's because of ignorance. That's why without the intellectual understanding, no conditions for direct understanding of whatever appears now. So while the wise disciple of the Buddhas listen to him, different degrees of understanding, because of the accumulation. Before this, we think about Dhamma, the word and the book, but no understanding. But when there is the development of understanding, it's there in citta, which arises and falls away in succession. no matter this life or other life.
Any other beginning of understanding other than hearing about realities at this moment?
What do you mean, the beginning of understanding?
The beginning of the development of right understanding.
One has to listen to this kind of discussion, otherwise there will be
no beginning.
No beginning, except for that 5 years old girl you do.
Still has to be the beginning of understanding. Still there has to be the hearing about seeing visible object realities at this moment.
And why there is such word in Tipitaka about begin again, begin again. Because even such very little understanding now, what about next moment or this evening? Lots of ignorance as before. So begin again. Mahasipatana, you read that in Pali. Like Dhamma now, begin again to understand reality.
Dhamma. Like Dhamma now.
Ajahn, can we say that our mindfulness or sati is very weak because even though such awareness arises, it only takes a series of realities for a reality?
But you see that, how can it arise? Because many people say that, oh, this person is arahata or that. But the way to be is more important. Like to say that there is awareness arising for those people who do not have right understanding of sati. They use the term sati, satipatthana, and they say that sati arises many times a day. See, but without the understanding of the difference between moment with sati and moment without sati, it's only thinking, imagine only. But panya is not like that. Panya knows. It's impossible what we say. Panya cannot know anything. It knows. Even this moment, whether it is intellectual understanding or direct understanding, panya knows. And what degree of right understanding, panya knows.
So panya knows at reality.
Mm-hmm. And at that moment, what is the object. Like now, see, many people. So there can be the understanding that this moment there is no direct understanding. Even we don't use the satipatthana or anything, just understanding, see. But at moment, even a glimpse or just very, very fast idea or understanding. In the beginning, it is the thinking. No one here, right? In a day, no such thinking at all. But when there is more and more understanding, it can condition the understanding of no one here. It can be just thinking in the beginning, but later and later on, no need to think, because in reality, no one in the visible object at all. It has to develop from moment to moment. With the understanding of anattaness, no one can do anything. Awareness. Only that person can know. So no use to talk or to say any word without understanding, delirious thinking. By understanding the reality, one understands what Buddha enlightened. So just one word, when there is the understanding, it cannot be changed at all. Like Dhamma or real reality.
Kenko-chan, I said that when I listen to you in Thai, it has to be a fair amount of concentration, is what I said. Then eventually, just for several days, I could realize that it's not really concentration. It's more like vitaka vichara, yeah?
So, you name it.
Oh, yeah. So even that sort of very weak sort of understanding, yeah, can tell.
Thinking about the name.
Yeah, exactly.
Because still, you see that even now, seeing Israel, it appears. What about the understanding of it as no self? So how can there be the understanding of that which does not appear at all? So it's only just close thinking, only that, of the term.
This is an explicit thinking, and these other terms which we've learned in our other studies. I mean, same for me as for you, but isn't this just different kinds of thinking?
Even we say, or we ask, what is real, and the answer is hardness or seeing, it doesn't mean that there is the precise understanding of it at the moment when it appears. It's only intellectual understanding. So we can see the difference between intellectual understanding and the direct understanding and the realization of the truth of it.
So I'd like to make sure that when there is sort of a direct understanding, a directly understanding of a reality, yeah? Suppose that there is a direct, there is no reason,
at that moment, right understanding is there, not I.
So there shouldn't be any extra sort of effort or...
It's speculation.
Yeah.
But if that does not appear as the object, it's only thinking about that. That's why there should be the precise understanding of just a reality, only one. And they can be thinking a lot about different things, but it's not the direct understanding.
But what you're asking, what I think Tadao is asking, in addition to that direct realization, isn't there a little self making a little bit more effort?
So it's always looking for a self somewhere.
Yeah,
that's the point.
Not but, understanding conditioned realities. Yeah. But how could it be even intellectual understanding when there's the idea of self, let alone direct understanding or realization? So that's why we're talking about seeing and visible object, different realities now, because that's why from the beginning, even with the intellectual understanding now, has to be without any idea of self doing anything.
And Panya knows at that very moment whether it's attachment or intention. If it does not appear, how can Panya think that there is attachment and aversion? And whenever attachment appears, that moment can be moment of understanding attachment, only at moment when it appears. Otherwise, there cannot be the elimination of wrong understanding and attachment at all. Like now, there can be doubt about whether there is a doubt or idea of words, many, many words from hearing or not. It's only speculation, thinking. It's not the direct understanding of seeing or whatever appears. There can be intention or wrong understanding to be known, because it appears. If it does not appear, it's only thinking about eliminating it.
Yeah, the importance of what is said now is what I've learned last month and and this mind.
Like seeing now, there will be less taking seeing for self only when there is the understanding, when seeing arises and appears.
In other words, it has to be natural. Meaning that don't take it too seriously. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it has to be natural and it has to be now.
Yeah.
She also means natural also
means that there's the understanding there's no self that's bringing it on, that it's happening because of conditions, so it happens. It just happens.
And it cannot be as natural when it is not satyana, see? One begins to understand the virtues of Buddha from hearing and understanding. Otherwise, who's he?
But the appreciation or degrees of appreciation depends very much to one's understanding. Okay.
That's why, for example, reciting the virtues of the Buddha is useless if there's no understanding. And I think it's why the reflection of the virtues of the Buddha is not a matter of reciting those terms.
And Paul, you've probably heard John say several times this afternoon, Satcha Jnana, and it was the same last week. Satcha means truth and jnana means knowledge of the truth. So by understanding more about realities now, such as seeing visible object, thinking, the intellectual understanding of the truth gets firmer and firmer, so that there's no doubt that it is reality now, not self at this moment. And when the intellectual understanding is very firm, there's no more idea of following some other practice or doing something like meditating in order to develop understanding, because one knows it is the understanding of reality at this moment. And it is this firm intellectual understanding that leads to the direct understanding of the realities that are being considered now. So that's what Satcha Jnana is, the firm intellectual understanding.
So one knows for oneself whether now it is the Pariyatti or Satcha Jnana.